Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, do you have a favorite movie soundtrack?
Oh, yes, I do. It's a hauntingly... Hold on a second. Oh, yes, I do. It's hauntingly beautiful music that helps sets the mood for a tale of Hold on a minute.
Gotta get through this.
I just gotta get that picture out of my mind. Oh, yes, I do. It's hauntingly beautiful music that helps set the mood for a tale of a phantom who creates much mayhem at an amusement park. That was genius.
Boom. Okay. All right, this is exciting, Patrick, because among all the people who have come to Suburbs Fest, many of them, you know, we kind of sort of knew before. You know, we had made connections with these people either through the podcast because they would, you know, call in and leave messages, or they were patrons of the show, or we met them on the Friday Night Hootenanny thing or whatever, right? There were a lot of different ways that we have connected with this community, which has been a beautiful thing and keeps me going.
Absolutely.
Without this, I would have nothing.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you that right
now. I'm in the same boat.
So, but also here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We get to meet new people here at Suburbs Fest, too. And so we have a new friend, Jerome. Hello, Jerome.
Hello. So that means you have no idea how this is going to go.
That's the beauty of it, right?
Okay.
That's why we saved you for last.
Woo!
Right? So, Jerome, tell us your full name, first of all.
I don't know if I can legally do that. No. My name is Jerome Himmersbach. Jerome is my middle name. What's my first name?
Franz.
Oh my gosh, it's Frank.
Is it really?
It is. Nothing to do with the band, though.
Wow.
Band Frank Muffin.
Yeah, the band Frank Muffin.
Which you are a part
of. That's
amazing. Am I? Yeah. Sorry, I told them I was going to take all denial of being in that band. Okay. But yes, I am the guitar player, keyboardist, and sometimes melodica player for guitar Frank Muffin.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for being part of this.
This is rad.
We really appreciate it. And you're staying with Tim Hoffman, right?
I am.
Is that going well?
Absolutely. What a gracious host.
Yes. Great man. Great American.
Man. Yeah. He really is.
Yeah, yeah. Tons of hospitality. Coming in buckets.
All right. This is the last time I'm setting the timer here. Is there something in particular you'd like to talk about, Jerome?
Yeah, I want to talk about soundtracks.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I love soundtracks.
Okay.
So I had, like, I'm a big nerd on media, pop culture stuff, and I've realized that some of the most impactful stuff has been when music and something visual have moved me together.
Okay.
And
love it.
I'll give an example here, but I'm curious if you guys have any examples yourself. The first time that I saw Richard Donner's 1978 Superman movie, the fanfare from that movie set the tone for that, and I never came down the entire time.
Interesting.
Like, that's an incredible soundtrack. The, you know, that's coming out of, you know, the '70s, a decade of amazing soundtracks.
John Williams?
Right. Yeah.
Score. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And I love John Williams, but honestly, Star Wars is not really up there for me as far as soundtracks go. It's a fine tune, but it pales in comparison to, you know, a
Interesting.
Superman.
Interesting. So Jerome, are you talking about movies where the score has entirely been originally composed, or movies like, just for, I'll throw out an example here. I was thinking the other day about Wes Anderson, which I do a lot because I know he has a new movie coming out like this month. Finally, The French Dispatch, we'll be able to see that. But one of his movies, The Darjeeling Limited, I think is a pretty terrible movie, but it may be one of his best soundtracks he's ever done. And it includes, obviously, a couple of Kink songs, but some amazing Indian ragas and some, you know, original stuff, too.
Well, it's great that you bring up Wes Anderson, because his film The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, all of that is, I'm blanking on the artist's name, but it's all Bowie in Portuguese.
Yes, that's so incredible.
And it's all played on set in visually in the film,
amazing,
too.
Amazing, yeah.
It's an amazing accompaniment.
Yeah, it really is a great... That's I love that. I'd like that probably more than the movie itself. Yeah, I love those songs, too. Yeah.
Okay, but getting back to... So there's different kinds of soundtracks,
sure,
right? Yeah. Or soundtracks and scores, what have you.
Yeah.
Right, so that Superman example, that's really like the score.
Yeah, that's the movie, that's right? The score, yeah. So I in my searchings, I know that there's a difference. The OST, the official soundtrack, usually includes a score and then any songs that were composed specifically for a movie. And I think the soundtrack is usually considered any other previously composed songs that are used in the film.
Got it.
Right.
And there's
like if you watch a movie Dazed and Confused,
yeah, sure.
It's right, all like right. 70s hits that right. you know, right?
Well, it's funny. I actually made a list here while I was listening to some of the other episodes that we were going through, and I had a mixture of both of those on there. And one of my most formative ones, I got a vinyl of the Animal House soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
When I was in high school. And it is just chock full of amazing music.
It really is, actually. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's Twisting the Night Away.
Twisting the Night Away.
Yeah. Twisting, everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, they're twisting the night away.
You got, of course, Shout by Otis Day and the Knights. You got Sam Cooke all over there, tons
right.
of Sam Cooke on mm-hmm. it. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And then they also included that was a rare one that included a few score snippets as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is an amazing score in that they got Elmer Bernstein, right, to score a comedy movie. And he was serious mostly before that.
The soundtrack was the straight man in that movie.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Exactly right. Yeah. Favorite college. And they're walking down with that.
But it had this sort of grandiose.
It did.
You know,
yeah, it was brilliant.
Very pomp and circumstance all the time. Yes.
And then he did the Stripes theme also.
That's
ooh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
That later led to him doing that kind of thing.
I think he was in on the joke by that point.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Back to the Future is another big one for me. The Alan Silvestri at the beginning of that movie, you know, they open up with a big title card with Back to the Future, and there's a little bit of a, you know, like a trumpet fanfare. But then as it starts to get into showing you like the opening credits over like the beginning montage of Hill Valley, there's this little bell chime. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh, interesting.
It's this great tension builder. And they call back to that tons of times. I mean, like probably too many times in the series, but like they lead with that in a way that's like, oh, we're Pavloving you to like something's coming. And like it really helps the momentum of the movie. And the rest of the score is amazing too. It's very jaunty and fun. Reminiscent of Star Trek II for me.
Yep.
Another great score, James Horner. All over the 70s doing, you know, James Horner did that. He did some of the disaster movies of the 70s too, which I thought was a great pairing from going from Star Trek 2 and 3 to those. Sci-fi in particular, I think, is driven heavily by score.
Totally. Yeah. And who could forget Jaws?
Oh, yeah.
With the ominous, bowing of it. That kind of became a pop culture reference, right? That music. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, absolutely.
How can you hold people captive with two notes?
That's right. It's incredible. It's pretty incredible. Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, I always wonder, too, when musicians are composing a score or a soundtrack or writing a song originally for the film. I mean, you hear these stories about them just sitting around watching, like, you know, maybe not finished versions and trying to come up with a song. That's got to be really challenging to do. I mean, it really does.
Yeah. And I wonder how much direction somebody gets as a scorer.
Exactly. Yeah. Depending on who the director is or what they're doing. Yeah. It's very interesting. Maybe noise trends could go into soundtracks.
Well, I was going to ask, is this something that interests you? You'd like to score a movie sometime?
I actually, in my phone, I have 5 drafts of an EP I started to compose that is supposed to be video game style music.
Oh, really? That's
that
cool.
That represent different types of video games, different levels in video games, because it's all kind of common. You know, all boss battles kind of have the same music. All desert levels all kind of have the same music. So I did kind of start to dip my toes in that. I'm not much of a writer, though.
That's a whole nother world. I mean, it's incredible how many hours my offspring have spent in front of, and I've learned the songs just from being in the other room and hearing like the music go over and over. Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, that's actually, there are some games that do it a little better.
Yeah.
A lot of the role-playing games. And I actually had a couple of those on my list as influential soundtracks for me, because I don't know how they do it, that music will continue to generate if you're in an area and not really repeat and then change as you go to a new place. Like that's some next level composing. It's like, how do you compose something that isn't going to be grating if they hear it 45 times right. while they mess up the same puzzle right. over and over and over
right.
and over
again? Right. Yeah, it's a good point. It really is. Repetition.
I mean, there's some Grammys out there for video game soundtracks. The Civilization series.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Eastern and world music kind of stuff going on in there. That's two Grammys under their belt. So.
Wow.
There's some serious composing going on beyond the little 8-bit beats and boops going on.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a whole other world to think about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Take All right.
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, hit me. All right.
Jerome wants to do the bag
of
questions.
Yeah, bag of questions.
Heck yeah, I do.
What's the best thing you can cook?
What's the best thing I can cook, or what's the best thing that can be cooked?
No, you. You specifically.
I can make a rum banana flambé.
What? Wow.
Yes.
That sounds good, man.
That was an unexpected answer.
In 30 seconds, I'll tell you how. It's not hard. You get a banana. You put it in an elongated banana dish. You have to get a banana dish.
The elongated, that's important.
Yeah, I mean, because you'll banana. See why.
Yeah.
There's fire involved.
Not all bananas are the same, yeah.
Hey. Let's not go there. All right. So you get the banana. You put it in the dish. Soak it in a little orange juice, brown sugar, a little cumin, surprisingly, because it brings out a little of that citrus spice. Then you pick your accelerant of choice, usually a good vodka, a high-proof vodka. You light it. Brown sugar caramelizes the orange juice on top of the banana. Bing, bang, boom.
Wow.
One banana flambé.
Sounds great.
It's super easy. Girls are very impressed.
This is great. Just don't start a fire that traps Kurt Gallagher somewhere.
No. And that'd be bad. Yeah. Or maybe it was good. Who knows? I mean, you got swordfish trombones, so you got it.
Thank you very much, Jerome.
Hey, thank you so much.
Beautiful, man.
We're very much looking forward to hearing you.
Yeah, full band. Full band.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait to hear the band. There we go.
Perfect.
All right. This has been so great.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank
who
you
has
so
participated
much.
In this foolishness.
Or just been here. Thank you all.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Patrick. I'm beat.
Yeah. Let's Might
get
be time
here.
For a power nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. All before right. tonight.
All right. Thanks again, everyone. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to y'all later.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Animal Crossing, they used to play that for hours and hours and hours, and you would get that, you know, that same song, and you'd be like, argh.